But like Moses, we need to keep sharing God's message. We need to share that message in love. You know, Peter, one of the disciples of Jesus, was a pretty energetic guy, and I would consider him, you know, one of those guys who was unafraid to kind of get in your face, so to speak. But even Peter said this. He said, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts." He said then in this in his letter, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. Yet, give it with gentleness and reverence." We need to share this wonderful message, but we need to do it with gentleness and reverence. So here we are with Moses. He's standing before Pharaoh trying to deliver this message from God. And so we come to the passage that we're going to look at this morning in the book of Exodus. But before we begin, let's pause for a moment of prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you that you are a God who is alive and active in our world today. You are a God who speaks. You are a God who is almighty. You are certainly capable of preserving your word through the centuries so that we have it today, and so that it can be a help and an example to us in this world, in this time now. And so, Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts and that you would use your word to give us insight into what you want to do, what you are doing, and what you want to accomplish in and through us. And this we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So we are in Exodus chapter 8. If you have your Bibles, please open to Exodus chapter 8. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible in the rack in front of you, and you'll find Exodus chapter 8 on page 45. I think it's great to see the Word of God as we talk about it. So Exodus chapter 8, verse 1. It says, "Then the Lord, Yahweh, said to Moses, 'Go to Pharaoh and say to him, Thus says Yahweh, the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite your whole territory with frogs.'" Now let's stop right there for a minute. You know, frogs, that doesn't really sound like a terrible threat, does it? I mean, frogs are weak little creatures. You know, if he had said bears, you know, that would have been different. You know, we in Pine Mountain, we understand that. We have to deal with bears up here. But you know, God is not trying to terrify the Egyptians. He has something he wants for them as well. God has a message for them in this next plague. But, you know, perhaps Pharaoh, when he heard that, he just wasn't impressed. Frogs? Huh, is that all you got? Well, I can handle that. But listen to what else God says. Verse 3, "The Nile will swarm with frogs, which will come up and go into your house and into your bedroom and on your bed and into the houses of your servants and on your people and into your ovens and into your kneading bowls. So the frogs will come up on you and your people and all your servants." Okay, now a lot of frogs, that is something to deal with. And evidently, Moses did what God told him to do. He went to Moses, delivered that message. And with that message was that warning that if he didn't let the people go, that God would bring frogs to the land. And it's interesting to know that whenever God brings judgment, he first brings a warning. And obviously, Pharaoh paid no attention to the warning. So Pharaoh ignores the warning. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, people ignore God today. It's like, it's no different. Nothing has changed in 3,500 years. People today ignore God and ignore His message. And that's the reason this world is so messed up. people ignore God. We put our trust in God because we want to be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. So Pharaoh rejects this warning, and then it says in verse 5, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the rivers, over the streams, and over the pools, and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt.' So Aaron stretched his hand out over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt." Now, can you imagine? Frogs everywhere. I mean, a guy comes home, he wades through a bunch of frogs, gets into his house, shuts the door, and there's frogs in his house. And he's like, "Get these frogs out of the house." And maybe his wife says, "Well, I'm trying to, honey. I put, 10 in this bucket, and I open the door, throw them out, and 20 more come in." Oh. The frogs were making life miserable for the Egyptians. And this speaks of sin and its results in everyday life. Sin makes our life miserable. But we have a wonderful promise in Scripture. Scripture says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And there's some lessons for us here in this encounter with frogs. I'd like for you to notice the reaction and the power of these magicians. Now, evidently, the Pharaoh called his magicians, which were really counselors. This word could be translated in verse 7, soothsayers. So verse 7 says, "The musicians did the same with their secret arts, making frogs come up on the land of Egypt." So Pharaoh calls his magicians. He says, hey, what's going on here? Is this something I should be concerned about? And I don't know what the magicians said. Maybe they said, don't worry about it. We could do the same thing. And so that verse says that the magicians brought frogs up. And now it'd be interesting to know exactly what happened. Did they really bring frogs up with demonic power? Or were they tricksters? In the same way that a magician today can pull a rabbit out of a hat. Or the magician, brings all those parakeets out of his sleeve. Maybe they brought some frogs out. But that didn't help any. Pharaoh didn't need any more frogs. He needed to get rid of the frogs. And it's very interesting to know that in Egypt, there was a frog goddess. And the name of that frog goddess was Hekt, H-E-Q-T. And this goddess assisted in childbirth, supposedly. And this goddess, Hekt, was the patron god of the midwives. Archaeologists have found embalmed frogs in the tombs of the pharaohs, in honor to this frog goddess. And so God has given another message to the Egyptians. The frog goddess is a false god. Don't put your trust in the frog goddess. Look, the frog goddess can't even control these frogs. And what could the magicians do? They could only bring more frogs. They're absolutely no help. The truth is, they were powerless. They could not get rid of the frogs. Pharaoh had to call Moses back. I was thinking about that. People do many things today. We can build beautiful buildings. We can split the atom. We can travel through space. We can discover new drugs to help and to cure and to relieve pain. Still, our most perplexing problems remain. Now, Jesus made a list of our most perplexing problems. You know what they are, don't you? Jesus gives us the list in Mark chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. These evil things proceed from within and defile the man." See, the honest truth is the Egyptians did not have a frog problem. They had a God problem. People today have a God problem. And the problem is their unwillingness to submit to Almighty God. Pharaoh was just too proud to submit to the God of the Hebrews. The Hebrews were his slaves. How could he submit himself to the God of the slaves? That was beneath him. It didn't matter that the God was the all-powerful creator of heaven and earth. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy, he says, the unbelievers are ever learning, but missing the truth. That's a real good description of our society today. In fact, I'd like for you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, because all of you Bible buffs out there will enjoy perhaps a little added information. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, the verse that I just quoted says this, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Just as, this is verse 8, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses. Now, do you know who Jannes and Jambres were? Well, according to Jewish tradition, and this was written by the Apostle Paul, who was very familiar with Jewish tradition, Jannes and Jambres were two of the magicians in Pharaoh's court who opposed Moses. And according to Jewish tradition, these two magicians opposed Moses, but later became so impressed by the power of Yahweh that they became Jewish proselytes, or perhaps pretended to become Jewish proselytes. They followed the Hebrew people out of Egypt. And it was Jannes and Jambres who instigated the worship of the golden calf when Moses delayed up on Mount Sinai. I just thought you would think that was interesting. It's mentioned here in the... Their names are not mentioned in the Old Testament. They're mentioned here in the New Testament. And it says, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth, men of depraved mind rejected in regard to the faith. So back to our passage in Exodus. Pharaoh is standing before Moses. And by the way, Jewish tradition also says that these two guys, Jannes and Jambres, were killed when the other idolaters were killed in Exodus chapter 32. But if Pharaoh would just have listened to God, if he had just obeyed God, everything would have been well with him and his people. And you know that's true today. We could avoid so much chaos, divisions and strife, if we as a people would just listen to God and obey God. I want you to notice the procrastination of Pharaoh. Verse 8 says this, then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat Yahweh the Lord that he remove the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may sacrifice to the Lord. Now, I think it's interesting that Pharaoh calls Moses. This kind of shows that Pharaoh is starting to turn. He's starting to recognize that this God of the Hebrews is someone to deal with. His magicians, his sorcerers can't get rid of the frogs, so he calls in Moses. You know, even ungodly people know who walks and talks with God. Pharaoh knew that Moses talked with Yahweh. And so he calls Moses. And Pharaoh acknowledges that only Yahweh can help. And so Moses, he asked Pharaoh when he'd like to have the frogs gone. Look at this. It says, Moses said to Pharaoh, this is verse 9, the honor is yours to tell me. When shall I entreat for you and the servants and your servants and your people that the frogs be destroyed from you and your houses, that they may be left only in the Nile? So Moses turns to Pharaoh and said, okay, you name it. When do you want the frogs gone? Now, why would Moses make such a proposition to Pharaoh? Well, Moses answers his question. Now, look at what Pharaoh says in verse 10. Pharaoh says, tomorrow. That is so amazing that he says that tomorrow. I mean, why doesn't he say right now? Like immediately. But he says tomorrow. Pharaoh, like, he wants one more night with the frogs. I just don't get it. He's like people who put off coming to Christ. You know, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Get right with God today. Why put it off? I was reminded of a story by John Piper. John Piper tells a story of his father preaching, and there was a man in his 70s who came to Christ. And the man was weeping uncontrollably on the front pew. And he kept saying, "My life has been wasted. Why did I wait so long to come to Christ? I've wasted my life." Pharaoh is wasting his life. Don't wait. Come to Christ. And Moses says in verse 10, "May it be done according to your word." And here's why. "That you may know that there is no one like Yahweh, our God." That's what Moses says to Pharaoh. Okay, it'll be done according to your word, so that you can know that there is no one like Yahweh. Do you see why God is doing this? God wants the Egyptians to know the true God. He's concerned with their souls. He wants them to put away their false gods. And God is concerned by the same thing today. God wants every person on earth to know that Jesus is the Holy Son of God who came from heaven. And in Him there is forgiveness and salvation. That's why Jesus said, "Go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations." That's why Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." The gospel of Jesus Christ is spreading throughout all the world. Now, do you know how many languages there are in the world? I found this out last night. There are 7,000 languages in the world. And right now, today as we speak, the Bible is in 2,000 of those languages. And right now, as we speak, there are people who are working on translating the Bible into 2,200 languages. So that just leaves 1,800 languages. And it's interesting, as I heard this report last night, that computers are greatly accelerating the translation of the Bible into new languages. They have what this called, the computer uses what is called artificial languages to make translations. And basically they use a language that's close to the language that they want to translate into. And the computer makes the translation, and you know, based on this language that's close, and then the linguistic experts have to come in and kind of tweak it and make it fit this other language. But according to what they are doing now, their prediction that there will be a Bible for every language on earth by the year 2033. For the first time in the history of the world, the Bible will be in every language. And they're predicting by 2033. It'll happen in our lifetime. Then those who study, you know, missiology and the different people groups and languages of the world, they say that there are only 1,500 unengaged people groups in the world. In other words, there are a number of people who don't have the Bible in their language, but still there's someone engaging them, telling them about Christ. And presently, there is only 1,500 people groups where no one is telling them about Jesus. However, there are 300 of these groups being engaged every year. Now, just do the math. So these missiologists say that in just five years, there will be no unengaged people on earth. In just 5 years, there will be no people group on earth that does not have someone telling them about Jesus. And I could sit up here for hours and I could recommend a number of books, you know, missionaries who go to a particular area and a tribe comes to Christ, and then that tribe goes over the mountains to the next valley and shares the gospel with the tribe on the other side of the valley. You know, the Lord Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's the smallest seed, but it becomes the largest plant in the garden. The gospel of the Lord Jesus started with just a handful of men, and it's now spreading throughout all the world. Jesus said, "This gospel shall go into all the world, and then the end shall come." We may be soon see the return of the Lord Jesus as the gospel goes to every people group in the world. We may see that in our lifetime. And so Moses, after hearing Pharaoh's requests, goes to prayer. And in verse 12, it says, "Then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh. And Moses cried to the Lord Yahweh concerning the frogs, which he had inflicted upon Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And the frogs died out of the houses, the courts, and the fields. So they piled them in heaps, and the land became foul." And then verse 15 says, "But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not listen to them, as the Lord said." The Lord said this would happen. So Moses cries to the Lord, and I want you to notice that Moses is very specific in his prayer. That's a great example for us. We should be specific in our prayers. Puny man calls, Almighty God acts. I just love seeing that. We see it throughout Scripture. And many of us could give testimony to the power of God as He answers prayer. Each one of us in this room have things that we're dealing with or struggling with. Does your problem seem too difficult to solve? Pray about it. Be specific in your prayers. God answers prayer. And the plague was ended. We know that when the Lord Jesus returns, all plagues will come to an end. All disease will come to an end. There will be no disease, no more death. And we will live eternally with Him. What a wonderful message that is to share with others. As I thought about this passage and some points of application, you know, we have the example of a Moses who is a faithful servant, the example of Pharaoh who was obstinate. It says that he hardened his heart. It literally says he made his heart heavy. His heart became heavy. In other words, his heart was not going to move. And all of us can think of people that just seem that, you know, we just can't get them to move towards Christ. But God is going to move Pharaoh. And we need to keep praying for those people who have hard hearts and look for opportunities to share in gentleness with them the love of Christ. And then, you know, there's this phrase, when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart. I think there's an example for us there as well. You know, listen to God. When your problems are over, don't forget God. If things are going well for you, have a grateful heart. Have a thankful heart. And look for opportunities to help and encourage other people. Remember God's faithfulness in past times of crisis. Respond to God without delay. Pray about everything. Those are wonderful lessons for us as we read this Old Testament story. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, again, we thank you for allowing us to see your love for all people. Thank you for letting us see, Lord, that you love the Egyptians just as much as you love the Hebrews. Thank you, Lord, for revealing your heart, Your desire that all men come to the knowledge of the truth. You say that you do not wish that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Lord, may we be faithful servants like Moses. Faithful to share this wonderful message that you've given us. Faithful to pray for others. Faithful to help and encourage others come to the knowledge of the truth. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I want to invite you to do that right now. Don't put it off. Why wait? Right now, in the quietness of your heart, right where you're sitting, just turn to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I accept your death on the cross as a payment for my sins. And I put my trust in you as my King and my Lord. Lord, right now, we, your people, acknowledge that we need you. In the quietness of our heart, we confess our sin to you. We acknowledge that we often fail. But we thank you that you have made a way for us to be forgiven. And so, Lord, we thank you for bringing us into your presence this morning. And we pray, Lord, that we would be eager to please you. And when we do sin, we would be quick to turn to you. We wouldn't hesitate. We wouldn't put it off. We wouldn't say tomorrow. But we would be quick to turn to you and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive me. Give me the grace to live a life pleasing to you, to obey you in all things. And may we be people, Lord, who represent you well here in this place. May we be people who put our faith in God, and others will see your work in us. And Lord, perhaps in the same way that Pharaoh went to Moses, others will come to us and say, please pray for me. May we represent you well, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.